This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Plenty to be talking about over the next hour. Obviously, we'll be looking ahead to all of the Championship fixtures that are tonight and also tomorrow night. So a full fixture list for Championship fans. Our focus this afternoon will be on West Brom, top of the league, and they are at home against managerless Barnsley tonight. We'll also be talking about Millwall, who have a new manager in the form of Gary Rowett. They take on Cardiff at home tonight. We'll also be talking about Bristol City, who had a disappointing defeat on the weekend. They're up against Charlton next. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 70 20 55 or WhatsApp us on that same number. This is the Premier League Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to talk about over the next hour. Remember, if you want to share your views, Championship fans out there, call us on 0208 70 20 55. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. At Love Sport Radio, we are also on WhatsApp. So we want to hear from you this afternoon, the fans out there, looking ahead to your Championship fixtures this midweek. Are you dreading it or are you most certainly looking forward to it? As I said, we'll be talking about West Brom, Millwall and Bristol City as the hour goes along. So 7 fixtures in the Championship tonight. Therefore, by maths, 5 will take place tomorrow night. Looking at the kickoffs tonight, all of them are 7:45 except West Brom, the tabletoppers who will host Barnsley. We'll talk about West Brom in more detail in just a few moments' time. The rest are 7:45 kickoffs. So going down the list, Birmingham host Blackburn, Millwall with a new manager in the form of Gary Rowett. He won't officially take charge for tonight, although I would assume he will have some sort of an impact on team selection because he is now the manager. So you'd imagine he'd want to have some sort of say. If obviously he was still in negotiations and hadn't been officially confirmed, then it wouldn't be up to him. But the reality is he is now officially the Millwall manager and therefore he will want an impact on the selection. So Millwall host Cardiff and Gary Rowett's first game, his first official game in charge, will be on the weekend. Preston are up against Leeds. That's looking like one of the tasty fixtures in this midweek. Preston in sixth up against Leeds, who are in second place, just a couple of points off the top of the table. QPR, who are up in fifth, having a very good start to the season under Mark Warburton. They take on Reading, who won their first game in charge under Mark Bowen at the weekend against Preston. Sheffield Wednesday are at home against Stoke, and Joe Allen, the Stoke midfielder, has praised their owners for sticking with boss Nathan Jones during a poor start to the season. Swansea are up at home against Brentford, who had that incredible comeback on the weekend against Millwall, coming from 2-0 down with not long to go to win 3-2. And as I mentioned, the 1-8 o'clock kickoff tonight is at the Hawthorns, the highest stadium in the country, based on it's to ground level. West Brom are up against managerless Barnsley, top of the table against bottom of the table. Let's start then talking about the side that is at the top of the Championship table currently. That is West Brom on 25 points through the first 12 games of the season. Slaven Bilic certainly doing a good job there. And to talk all things West Brom, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Joe Chapman, a West Brom reporter for the Birmingham Mail and Birmingham Live. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Joe. It was a 1-0 win on the weekend away at Middlesbrough. Hal Robson-Kanu with the late goal. Does that just show that West Brom are able to win in different ways? They scored 4 just before the international break against Cardiff. But in this game, a tight game where only one goal decided it, that West Brom can edge these types of games?
I think so. I think that was the overriding feeling that we took away from the game at the Riverside on Saturday, was that with 10 minutes to go, it was going to be a real question asked of Albion, and they responded. It wasn't the most entertaining game, as the scoreline probably suggests. There was two teams, particularly Middlesbrough, who were, I felt, had a real point to prove after a run of particularly poor results. So they weren't going to roll over, and they had the best of the first half, I thought. And Sam Johnston was pretty inspired in the Albion goal. But yeah, if you can't win three or four every week, then you've got to make sure you win somehow. And over the course of 46 matches, if Albion can do that and win those kind of games 1-0, keep a clean sheet, then I think it will stand them in good stead.
Looking at the players that were missing for West Brom on the weekend, Kieran Gibbs wasn't available, Kenneth Sahore wasn't available either, and neither was Matty Phillips, who's been in fine form at the start of this season. That must be another positive for West Brom fans and for Slaven Bilic, that not only are they able to win games a little bit ugly in that sort of a style, but also without some key first-team players, they're still able to get over the line, which maybe kind of highlights the squad depth.
Yeah, I think so. Ahmed Agassi came off the bench. It was his first appearance since the playoff semi-final defeat to Aston Villa in May. He came on for the last 2 or 3 minutes. That was a big boost to see him. And Gareth Barry is another one who hasn't kicked the ball since March. He had surgery at the back end of the season, and he's training with Albion again with a view to signing a contract to the end of the season. So he'll be available as well in the next few weeks. So coupled with the guys you've already mentioned there, Gibbs, Zahor, and Matt Phillips, it's really positive, I think, in terms of what's to come in the next few weeks and months with the fixture list, the way it piles up at this time of year, that he'll be able to call on those guys when they're all returning. The competition's strong anyway, even the players that did actually travel to the Riverside on Saturday, players like Kyle Edwards, Robson Carney, Filip Krivinovic, who got a start. All these guys are all kind of looking in and hoping to cement their place in the starting 11. So they know that they have to be performing at a very, very high level to keep their shirt.
Obviously, looking at it in general, pretty good for West Brom fans at the moment, top of the table. And going into the game against Barnsley tonight, Slaven Bilic has been speaking about the pressure of being up there, but he sees it as a positive pressure. The more you win, the closer you'll be to the top of the table. That adds to the pressure, but that is what we've trained for from the end of June. That's why, to try to win games. Do you think that Bilic is the right type of manager to be able to deal with that pressure, and how will that affect West Brom in terms of the challenges they'll face from opposition? Because when you're at the top, there's a target on your back and everyone wants to beat you because you are the team currently occupying that top spot.
Yeah, I think Bilic certainly, the way he's kind of thrown himself into the job since he was appointed in the summer, everybody at the club loves him, and that goes for the players as well, who have spoken very, very highly of him every time I've been talking with them post-match at any point this season. Nobody can speak highly enough of him, and everyone's kind of feeding off his charisma and his determination to succeed. I think he had a pretty kind of disappointing spell in Qatar before he took this job, and it was kind of an opportunity for him to really kind of remind fans in English football that that he's, you know, a very, very good manager, a very good man manager, and the fans particularly have really taken to him. Games like tonight are the kind of games where you've really got to guard against complacency, and that's something Bilic is very, very keen to stamp on as well. You can't. There have been games recently, I think, where Albion have maybe been fancied to take points off their opponents against the likes of Middlesbrough. Cardiff, obviously, a very, very good side. They beat them before the international break. Huddersfield had a new manager bounce when they played them in QPR, as well as a series of games when they went to Loftus Road. Tonight is the first game in a little while, actually, where Albion are expected to win and win comfortably. And it's these kind of nights, I think, where, you know, if you can kind of couple the results like they got to get on Saturday at Middlesbrough, if they can go and win a couple of goals tonight, then over the course of the season, it's showing that they can win in kind of any circumstance.
One of the players that you've mentioned who was outstanding on the weekend, Sam Johnston, who was man of the match, I believe, against Middlesbrough. Obviously, he was a product of the Manchester United academy, spent a lot of years on loan, more recently before West Brom at Aston Villa, on loan for a couple of seasons. Signed for West Brom permanently for £6.5 million in 2018. Do you feel that he kind of made the right call at the right time, thinking, I'm not going to get the chance at Manchester United, I've got to go somewhere and get full-time football? And do you think, for example, someone like Dean Henderson, who's on loan at Sheffield United and has been for the last few years, who's worked his way up the leagues, like Sam Johnstone, that he might have to make that tough decision to leave Manchester United in order to be a number one at a goalkeeper and know that from the moment he signs?
I think so. Johnstone left Manchester United at a time in his career that was quite important. I know as a goalkeeper, you tend to perhaps come into your prime a little bit later than an outfield player would. But at 25, 26 years old, it was really, really important time for Johnstone. He's no longer a kid. And it was an opportunity. Obviously, he had 18 months at Aston Villa. And I think at the time, if Steve Bruce had been able to have signed him for Villa permanently, then he would have done that because of the financial constraints at the club at the time. Albion were able to kind of nip in and nab him on a permanent deal. And much like Henderson, I know Henderson is a couple of years younger, but with David De Gea pretty much rock solid in the goal at Old Trafford and obviously signing a new long-term contract as well, it's hard to see anybody overthrown in there. And Henderson, I watched Henderson last night, I thought he was very, very assured. I know he's had one or two moments in the last 15 months or so at Sheffield United, and Chris Wilder is not afraid to kind of, you know, say it as it is with him, really. But certainly judging by Johnstone's time at West Brom so far, just having that, I think, that kind of certainty of where he's going to be and not worrying about spending another season out on loan, I think that's benefiting him in the long term. He was absolutely brilliant on Saturday, and he was well worth the clean sheet and played a big, big part in Albion's win. And, you know, he's had a couple of rickets this season. There's been a couple of moments he won't want to look back on too fondly. But I think with Johnstone, certainly in the time he's been at the club, the positives outweigh the negatives.
And just finally then, Joe, you mentioned that game tonight. It's against Barnes. It's top versus bottom. I know that people kind of are cautious of getting complacent and just thinking that West Brom are going to rock up and win. But considering Barnsley at bottom of the table, they've not got a permanent manager in place. Is there any argument to think that West Brom aren't going to secure 3 points?
Well, as I've already said, I think the kind of guard against complacency that Slava Bilic has been really, really keen to address is very, very refreshing, really, as a manager, that there's not going to be any kind of, well, we'll just turn up tonight and we'll kind of roll Barnsley over. Barnsley, you've got to remember, got a very, very good point at the weekend against Swansea, who obviously are at the other end of the table alongside West Brom. And, you know, that was from a goal down as well. So they've shown that they can mix it with the better sides in the division. And that was a bit of a warning to Albion that, you know, you can't expect them just to turn up and win 3-4-0. They're going to have to work really, really hard, I think, tonight. Barnsley have, Adebury was saying as well this week that he was hoping to be able to go to the Hawthorns and just continue playing the same kind of football that Barnsley have adopted since he's been there. And they're hoping to ruin the party. But, I think Slaven Bilic certainly is not going to take any game in this division lightly.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Joe. That was Joe Chapman, a West Brom reporter for the Birmingham Mail and Birmingham Live, giving his views on the current table toppers in the Championship. West Brom, they're 25 points from their opening 12 games. And as I mentioned, at 8 o'clock tonight at the Hawthorns, they host the side that are at the complete opposite end to the Championship table, managerless Barnsley. So, so many people say it's an easy West Brom win, and it should be. But as we all know in football and we all know in sports, nothing is ever quite as predictable as we think. And even though on paper it looks like an absolute foregone conclusion, it may not work out like that. Managerless Barnsley might pull off a bit of a shot, but I think it is a very distant shot. That. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're talking about Barnsley without a manager. One team that has just got a new manager is Millwall, and we'll be talking all things Millwall next.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to share your views on your Championship club, this is the hour for you. Get in contact with us, of course, on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Obviously, plenty to look ahead to tonight. Plenty of fixtures. Birmingham host Blackburn. We'll be talking more in depth in a few moments about Millwall, who are at home against Cardiff. Gary Rowett, the new Millwall manager. Preston up against Leeds, two sides inside the top six. QPR are at home against Reading. Sheffield Wednesday are at home against Stoke. Swansea host Brentford. And as we were just talking about just a few moments ago, it is top versus bottom in the Championship. West Brom take on Barnsley at the Hawthorns. I mentioned one club that does have a new manager is Millwall, and I'm sure our next guest will have plenty of views on the new man at the helm at the Den, which is Gary Rowett. I'm delighted to say we are joined by Ted Robinson from No One Likes Us Talking. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ted. So your instant reaction, it was kind of rumoured for a few days now, but it's officially confirmed Millwall have appointed Gary Rowett as their new manager. What are your first reactions to that news?
Well, I've got to be honest, Kieran, I think out of who I see was applying for the job or being interviewed for the job, I think Gary Rowett is probably the guy with the best CV. And I think we needed someone with a bit of experience. I think always for us, the sort of manager we need or the type of guy that we need is someone who's got a point to prove, who maybe has been good in the past, but the last job that he's had hasn't really worked out. And so he wants to come back with a passion to prove something. And I think Gary Rowett fits the bill with all of that.
He's had plenty of experience in the Championship. He's managed Derby, he's managed Birmingham, he's managed Stoke. So there's a different kind of view from some fans. I've seen on social media a very difference of opinion that some people are saying he's got the experience, so he knows this league very well. On the other hand, some people saying maybe he's a bit of a journeyman. He's going around all these Championship clubs, not necessarily staying at any of them for a long time. What's your view on that? Is it a case of experience is a great thing, or worried that he is kind of moving around quite a lot of Championship clubs?
Well, listen, Kieran, the bottom line of it is how well he does for us. I mean, we all thought when Ian Holloway was announced as our manager that was the best thing that could have happened to us. He's the guy that was going to perhaps even get us into the Premier League, and it turned out to be one of the worst appointments we've ever had because it never worked for Ian Holloway. So it's difficult to turn around and say whether it's going to work for Gary Rowett. But what I think Gary Rowett has got is the right credentials to take Millwall further on. So I understand why people on social media will be split, but everybody has their opinions. Some people might think, as Adam Barrett was at the club, it might have been a good idea for Adam to step into the shoes. But then other people would have said, well, he's got no experience of being a manager, a bit like Neil when he took over with us, Neil Harris. But I think at this time, with where the club is, a guy with experience of the Championship could well be the right guy. And I think Gary Rowett's done pretty well in the Championship. If you look at his record over things, he hasn't done bad. I mean, I know Birmingham fans were pretty upset when he got the sack from Birmingham because of the new consortium that took over. I think Gary Rowett is in a position where he wants to prove himself. That's only a good thing for Millwall, I think.
One of the big things in modern management at the moment is how a manager connects to the fan base of the club that he's going to. And it's important that the club spends time thinking about that. What, obviously, your kind of best place to answer this. What does Gary Rowett need to do to connect to the Millwall fans, to get them on side? Because that's massive for a manager, is getting the fans on side very, very quickly. Because even if results don't necessarily pick up massively, if you get the fans on side, that's a massive, massive boost and an early boost for a new manager.
Well, I know we all know that Gary Rowett has been speaking to Neil Harris, and there's no man better to let a guy know what is expected of him, should we say, as a Millwall manager. And I've seen Gary's first interview that's come out, and he's saying all the right things. He's saying the right sort of things to get the fans on side. I mean, he makes a point that, you know, at home, Millwall's form has been terrific. We haven't been bad at all at home. Our away form is what's been letting us down in the Championship for the last couple of years. So he's not going to say anything that's going to upset Millwall fans, but I think he also understands that Millwall fans expect something from him. And he'll know all that from Neil, and I'm sure he's going to try and do everything to keep us all on board. But the best way of doing that, as we all know, Kieran, is to win football matches. And starting tonight with Cardiff, although he's not in charge, we've got two massive games with Cardiff, and funny how these things always seem to work out, with Stoke at home on Saturday, who was Gary Rowett's last club. We need 6 points from here. And if Gary gets off to a good start on Saturday, I'm sure he's going to have the backing from Millwall fans.
Before we look ahead to tonight's game, looking back at the weekend, and it was a pretty weird game of football, to say the least, at Griffin Park. Millwall being 2-0 up. And were you thinking on 80 minutes, Ted, oh, here we go. Here's a nice win, away win at Brentford. This is a great result. And then suddenly you get to the 95th minute and Millwall have managed to lose the game.
As a Millwall fan, Kieran, I never think that after 80 minutes because this happens far too often. It happened last year against Norwich, funny enough, where we give two goals away in the 92nd and 94th minute. we have, unfortunately, in the recent past, have a bit of a history of doing this. And most Millwall fans, I will tell you, in the last 10 minutes, we don't count anything until that final whistle goes. It's a habit that they seem to have got into to a certain extent that they obviously need to get themselves out of. And I was sitting there, and funny enough, I was in Northern Ireland, so I couldn't go to the game. Sitting there watching it, saying, we're 2-0 up, and my wife went to me, oh, it's only 10 minutes ago, looks like you've won. I said, you're joking. This is Millwall, anything could happen. So hardly surprising that Brentford come back to win 3-2. But it's something that Gary Rowett hopefully will stop from happening, because it has happened far too often. We've given far too many late goals away and given points away in the last few minutes of matches, and it can't go on.
Looking ahead then to tonight's game, Ted, yeah. And the two sides going up against each other are two sides that have kind of similarities in that their home form is very good, away form is where the problem is. How do you see tonight's game going at the Den? And can you imagine that Gary Rowett will have an impact? Surely he will. Now he's the full-time manager, even though he doesn't necessarily officially take charge tonight. Surely he's going to have an impact on a bit of team selection and perhaps the tactics that he wants to see going forward.
Well, first of all, it's a Neil Warnock side tonight, and they're never easy. Whatever side Neil Warnock puts out on the football field, you know you're in for a battle. And Cardiff are a big physical side, so we've got to match them there first. I know that Gary Rowett's going to be up in the box tonight, in the director's box, so he'll be watching. You would hazard a guess that he's going to have a word with the side before they go out. You know, he'd be in the changing room, maybe not fully there, if you know what I mean, but his influence will start to come through onto them there. And you would hope the normal reaction from players is they're looking at, there's a new guy out there, I've got to impress. And so I'm expecting Millwall to go out tonight and put out a proper Millwall performance, something similar to what we had against Leeds, because they will know Gary Rowett is sitting up there. I say passing judgment, but it's a natural thing for any footballer to come out with a new manager to try and impress. And I would imagine and hope that we have a team that goes out there tonight that certainly matches the physicality that Cardiff are going to bring, but also goes out and plays a bit of football like we did against Leeds and gets the result that we all want.
And just finally then, Ted, it's the final charge, final game in charge as caretaker manager for Adam Barrett. He's going to stay on in the Millwall coaching staff once Gary Rowett kind of fully takes charge. How important is that going to be for Gary Rowett, and how big a role is he going to play in his settling in period and as part of the coaching setup?
Oh, I think it's massive, Kieran, because Millwall have had a sort of project under Neil that's been going on for the last, well, 4 years that he's been here, where they've been putting backroom staff in place and building the foundations of a football club in some ways, if you know what I mean. So I was really pleased when I found that all Gary Rowett is doing is actually coming in himself with an assistant to replace Neil Harris and Dave Livermore and leaving the rest of the backroom staff there. I'm hoping and praying that Adam Barrett's happy about that and he wants to stay with us and continue as the first team coach, because he may find it a bit difficult with himself because he's stepped into the shoes of being a caretaker manager. But I know for a fact that the players really like Adam Barrett. They really respect him, and I think that's important to keep that, because you don't want things completely disrupted when you've got a turnover of a manager like this. I think it's very important that there's some continuity going on and that the players still have someone there that they feel that they can work for. And I'm sure Adam Barrett's there. So I'm hoping and praying Adam stays there and everything stays in place. And Gary Rowett just brings along that bit of extra that moves Millwall forward from a bottom half of the Championship side to a top half Championship side.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ted. That was Ted Robinson from No One Likes Us Talking. Remember, you can catch the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport every Friday evening from 9 until 10 o'clock with No One Likes Us Talking. So that's the Millwall Fan Show between 9 and 10 every Friday evening here on Love Sport. We've had some WhatsApp messages in about the appointment of Gary Rowett. If we remember, this time last week, there was a lot of negativity from Reading fans about the appointment of Mark Bowen, who had moved from sporting director to the head coach, and he did win his first game in charge. A few of the messages then. Richie says, pretty underwhelmed with Gary Rowett. He's just ticking off his Championship club bingo sheet. Rachel says, when I look at other clubs struggling to fill managerial positions, I think Gary Rowett is a decent appointment. Yes, he's not a Cowley brother, but look what Reading did. At least Rowett knows the league. And Simon says, let's judge him after 10 games. As long as we stay up again this season, we've done well. So maybe not being too ambitious and saying just keeping, maintaining their position in the championship is important. What's interesting is that Chris Hughton still hasn't taken a job. You'd imagine that potentially down near the bottom of the championship is below where Chris Hughton is at the moment. But he's quite clearly waiting for that right job. Does he think that when Premier League clubs start to pull the trigger in the next couple of months, that he feels he can get back into the Premier League? Or does he potentially have to look? Because obviously, apart from West Brom last season, who sat Darren Moore in a very, very weird situation, the reality is, a side in the kind of top eight, top 10, aren't going to sack their manager, really, if you think about it. So he is either going to have to wait for a Premier League job to become available or take a job in the bottom half of the Championship. And maybe Chris Hughton feels that is slightly below him. So where will Chris Hughton end up? But Gary Rowett is the new Millwall manager. My view would be, I think it's a sensible appointment. It won't necessarily get everyone off their seats and thinking, wow, this is a groundbreaking appointment. But he knows this league well. I think he's done a good job, has been potentially harshly treated at other clubs, and I think is a very sensible choice for Millwall. The key thing for him is connecting with the fans, and having Adam Barrett as his caretaker, I think, will massively aid him in that. What's your view, Millwall fans out there? Call us on 0208 70 2558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be continuing to look ahead to this week's fixtures in the Championship. One side looking to bounce back from defeat on the weekend at Bristol City. So we'll talk all things Bristol City next.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, share your views on your Championship club, call us on 0208 70 2558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Obviously, a full fixture list in midweek this week as the fixtures start to ramp up. Of course, past two international breaks, just one more before the turn of the year. So plenty of fixtures to look forward to tonight and tomorrow night. It's not just the Champions League that's in action over the next couple of nights. Also plenty of Championship action. The fixtures tonight include Birmingham, Blackburn, Millwall, as we've just been talking about, Gary Rowett in charge there. But his first official game in charge will be on Saturday against Stoke. They take on Cardiff. Preston at home against Leeds, which looks like the fixture of the night. QPR are at home against Reading. QPR have made an impressive start to life. They're in the playoff positions at the moment. Sheffield Wednesday are at home against Stoke. Swansea are at home against Brentford. And as we were talking about a little bit earlier in the hour, at the Hawthorns, it's the top of the table versus the bottom of the table. West Brom take on Barnsley. One side in action tomorrow night in the Championship, which is Charlton, are Bristol City. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by Stanley Hughes from the One Stream in Bristol podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Stanley. It was a bit of a blow on the weekend, a 3-0 defeat away at Luton on the weekend. I'm sure that came as a big surprise to all Bristol City fans on the weekend, Stanley.
It did, yeah. This is sort of earmarked as a chance for us to finally get a comfortable away win, sort of win by two or three goals. Speaking to Luton fans before the game and looking at their home record, I think they were expecting a victory for Bristol City, but it came as a surprise. Certainly one of the most, one of the least enjoyable away matches I've been to for a long time for various reasons.
Obviously, it ended Bristol City's 10-match unbeaten run. If you had to pinpoint one or two key reasons why that run came to an end in such emphatic style, I'm sure that must be the most surprising thing. Is obviously disappointing to lose, but the manner in which they lost 3-0.
Oh, man, to pinpoint, I think it's kind of hard because there wasn't sort of a single protagonist that had a subpar game. I think most of the players and fans would be in agreement that everyone had a bad day at the office and most of the players put in abject performances. I mean, Famara Djeju, who a lot of our play often goes through, didn't really hold the ball up very well, and he was subbed off after an hour at 2-0 down, and he had a huge row with Lee Johnson on the touchline. Sort of a debate about his output. Lee Johnson didn't understand why Famara was arguing back and didn't think that he'd put in such a performance that warranted any sort of debate on how he did. Casey Palmer, who's our sort of magisterial playmaker and number 10, most of our football goes through him. We sort of rely on him to sort of play the cut-through passes and to find the strikers' runs, and a lot of our assists and goals and build-up has been through him. And he was off. He got subbed off before the hour mark. So I just think sort of key players in our team just really weren't at the races. And when you come up against a team like Luton that are very hard-working, very physical, and play on the counter-attack, every now and then you can get undone like we did on Saturday.
Another kind of negative from that game and some rather unsavoury scenes. We've been talking really far too much in an awful sense about racist chanting over the last week. It's not great that we're having to talk about these things because it really shouldn't be happening. And Bristol City owner Steve Lansdowne has said that the club will ban any fans have used racist language during the defeat at Luton. And he said he was shocked and disappointed to learn of reports of abuse coming from the away end. Have you experienced in recent times any racist chanting or any racist abuse coming from Bristol City fans? And what, in your view, should be the punishment, not just for kind of fans, but for clubs? That it feels like that not just at the FA in this country, but UEFA in a European sense, need to come down harder in order to stamp this out.
I guess to start with the point, have I heard it before from Bristol City fans? Not at the top of my head. I obviously heard it at Luton, but I'll talk about previous games first. I think possibly as a kid in away games, you hear the occasional unsavoury language, but like most examples, it's one or two idiots sort of in isolated pockets. At Luton, I didn't personally hear the use of racial epithets, but I know a lot of people did. There was actually a podcast listener who, when she confronted some of the fans about their language, was actually assaulted and punched and then had to leave the ground in tears. Around me, there are people singing the name of EDL or former disgraced EDL leader Tommy Robinson. I think we discussed this on our podcast on the weekend, and I think if you get into a sort of entrenched discussion about racism and what's racist and how do you define racism, that doesn't actually go anywhere. But Rob, my co-host on the podcast, made a great point that I think all fans should agree on in unison, and that's once you bring in a political name or a political opinion or ethos into an away end or any stadium, then it politicises the Bristol City fans and it sort of alienates everyone else who doesn't share that political opinion. You know, I consider myself a liberal. Fine, I don't like most liberals. They're probably more annoying than everyone else. But if I was to get my friends to chant Jeremy Corbyn in the away end, that would annoy a lot of people. And I think that once you do that, you eradicate all sense of respect that you hold for the fans alongside you who might have different opinions. In terms of punishments, I think that's way above my pay grade. I think you just saw in Bulgaria, they closed huge amounts of stands and it did nothing because the few people that got in or people that are going to be racist got in anyway. I think it's all about finding the individuals and banning them. I think it's tough. You know, I'm sure Kenilworth Road doesn't have the best CCTV, but if you know that someone's behaving in a racist manner or using racial epithets, then they should be banned. Well, I guess for life. I don't know. I can't really quantify. I don't have a sort of a time in my head. But yeah, we're harsher than harsh, I guess, to sum it up. But I'm not sure.
Turning our attention back to on-field matters, and I think last time we spoke, we spoke a little bit about the news that you expected to happen, and it was the announcement that Bristol City have signed former Barcelona B striker Rodri on a short-term contract until January. Obviously, the club are without Benik Afobe for quite a long time. He's 29 years of age now. What do you think he will offer? And is it just a kind of short-term plan, or do you think that Lee Johnson will potentially be eyeing up a longer-term thing, kind of using it as a trial basis?
Personally, I think it's a short-term plan, and I think come January we will be trying to find another striker, either on loan or possibly buying. But Lee Johnson himself has said that he's been impressed with Rodri and his output in training, and when he came on against Luton, albeit for 25 minutes, in an incredibly drab game and performance by us, he actually was a very bright spark, I suppose, on a dimly lit afternoon. He hit the post with his first touch. He scored an offside goal. He actually had some shots, far more than Andy Vyman or Jeju did. Lee Johnson said we needed a striker because he wants a fourth. Because we played two up front, he wants a fourth striker in our squad. And I think the question now is how much he gets used. You know, Andy Vyman and Flamin Jeju have put in some abject performances in recent months, but they've also scored some goals. So it's whether Lee Johnson has the mentality to give Antoine Semenyo and Rodri game time. I think most. I don't know how other Bristol City fans feel, but I think if we've got four strikers and Lee Johnson has, you know, blocked the pathway for a potential academy striker by signing a 29-year-old free agent, then he better bloody use him.
Looking ahead then to the game tomorrow night, it's at home at Ashton Gate against Charlton. Are you, and also Bristol City fans in general, expecting a big reaction to the weekend? Because, as I said, it wasn't just losing that game away at Luton, but it was the emphatic nature of losing that game. So are you expecting a big reaction against a side in Charlton who made a very solid start? They're in seventh place. Lee Bowyer doing a very good job there. So it isn't going to be an easy game either.
No, it's certainly not going to be an easy game. We expect a reaction. I mean, we're certainly hoping for one. Whether we get it or not is a different matter. I think Charlton are the sort of team that we've struggled against in recent years at Ashton Gate. Sometimes the Ashton Gate crowd can get quite on the team's backs if we don't immediately go 1-0 up in the first half or if another team are on top. I think there's a perception amongst most Championship fans, especially Bristol City fans, that any team coming up from League One, we should be beating them regardless of how they're getting on. I don't know. I there was a debate again on the podcast. I was saying that well, I'll start with Rob, the co-host's opinion. He was saying that actually we should keep exactly the same team and they should have a chance to sort of redeem themselves after such an abject, woeful performance. But I went the other way and said, you know, I've been critical of Lee Johnson in recent seasons because often he does lean towards having quite a bloated squad and having a big squad. And I think if you're going to have a squad of 25, 26, 27 professionals and you're not going to switch it around after a 3-0 loss to Luton, I don't know why you've got a big squad. So personally, I want to see some changes. Pedro Pereira did the press conference. Perhaps he'll be in for the injured Jack Hunt. Maybe we'll see Rodri start or Semenyo start. We saw Callum O'Dowd and Edison come on after 60 minutes. Both of them did bugger all. So I'm not really sure. Am I expecting a response? Probably not, but I'm certainly hoping for one.
A quick fire prediction then, Stanley. Bristol City against Charlton. What are you expecting the result to be?
I think lots of booing from the Bristol City fans when we go 1-0 down after 10 minutes. And then I'll say we'll turn it around and maybe go 2-1 or 2-2 draw.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Stanley. That was Stanley Hughes from the One Stream in Bristol podcast, giving his views on Bristol City's disappointing display on the weekend. They were unbeaten in 10 matches and then not only losing at Luton, but losing by 3-0. A pretty emphatic nature of that defeat. But they're back in action tomorrow night at home against Charlton, who, as I said, have really made a really impressive start to the season. Everyone knows of the constraints that Lee Bowyer is under because of the owner, Roland du Châtelet, and it hasn't been easy for him. Also, Charlton have lost Lyle Taylor for large parts of this season, so they've had to deal without their best striker, and that won't be easy for Bristol City tomorrow night, but they will be expecting and demanding a reaction at Bristol City. As Stanley said, there may be some boos going around Ashton Gate if they don't get an early goal or if they go a goal behind. But Bristol City looking to get back to winning ways. It won't be easy, but they were on a 10-match unbeaten run before that Luton game. So we'll certainly be looking to get back to winning ways. Love Sport.